God bless you and welcome to Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast. We appreciate and welcome all of you, our listeners around the world. Stay tuned to hear an exciting word from the Lord.
Against the sanctuaries, prophesy against the land of Israel, and say to the land of Israel, thus says the Lord, behold, I am against you and will draw my sword from
one.
Will draw my sword from its sheath and will cut off from you both righteousness and wicked. Because I will cut off from you both righteous and wicked, therefore my sword shall be drawn from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. And all flesh shall know that I am the Lord. I have drawn my sword from its sheath. It shall not be sheathed again. As for you, son of man, groan with breaking heart and bitter grief, groan before their eyes. And when they say to you, why do you groan? You shall say, because of the news that it is coming, every heart will melt, and all hands will be feeble, every spirit will faint, and all knees will be weak as water. Behold, it is coming, and it will be fulfilled.
Okay, so we saw toward this three times, right? And it represents the invasion, the attack of Babylon. Now, in this chapter, these verses 1 through 7, we have three targets. We have the Jerusalem, the city itself.
Right.
We have the holy temple and the sanctuaries, right? And then the last one, the land of Judah. So when you say Jerusalem, the city, talking about the people, the land of Judah is also going to be attacked, right?
Right.
And in verse 3, it says, and say to the land of Israel, thus said the Lord, behold, I am against you and will draw my sword from its sheath and cut off you both righteous and the wicked. So my question is, who will suffer?
Everybody. So it's good to ask a question real quick, because I think
we let me finish this. The one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
Will there be a distinction? No.
No.
Go ahead.
The question was, remember how we started earlier? So what we've been reading is the warning up until now, because it's about to go down. So the siege hadn't happened.
Right.
None of this has happened yet.
Right.
And remember, we thought that it had started, but it hadn't started yet. It's about to go down now.
Right. And he does a lot of repetitiveness in Ezekiel.
So the 20 chapters of warning.
20 chapters of warning. Okay. Now, I want to explain something to you guys. He's telling them about news coming by the sword. That's going to happen on January, according to books. January 8th, 585 BC is when the city will become under the sword, and it will be burned August the 14th, 586 BC. So this is coming, because remember when we were talking earlier, he was talking about, he was like at 591, he was giving visions, but this is getting closer. And as you can see on the timeline, 588 is when the siege began, but about 586 is when the city gets burned, and then the sword comes. Okay, and everybody knows the time goes down, okay? And I did this because I thought my Nancy was going to be here. And she keeps me on the timetable. Okay, so let's establish something. Chapter 4 talked about him laying on his side, right? So these are acts, these are sermons that he's doing. Talked about laying on his side. Chapter 12 talked about, remember when he was packing and escaping.
Right.
And chapter 12 also talked about him being starving and thirsty.
Right.
So we're going to talk about chapter 21, the first 1 through 7 talks about groaning with great pain and grief.
Okay.
Then verse 5 takes us, he was crying out. He was beating his breast and bandaging his sword and smoking his thigh. Because remember, Ezekiel did a lot of acting. He acted it out, and he clapped his hands together, okay? So all of this is happening. He warning them, he telling them this is what's going to happen, and he's showing them what's... They even said that he probably hit his own thigh. He's abusing himself because he would have said the wicked and the righteous are going to be slaughtered. No distinction. So think about it. Not only is he telling him about it, just like Jeremiah, they got to live through this. Okay?
So the wicked and the righteous are going to be destroyed. That's like...
There's no distinction.
So like it says, when he reigns of the just and the unjust.
Yep. Okay, let's go to Ezekiel 8 through 17. Arsenio, read that for me. So we know if he says, and the word of the Lord came to me, that means he's saying something new. Right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord.
Okay, so we left out on three, right? Okay, so let's count. Go ahead.
Say, a sword. Four. A sword is sharpened.
Five. Mm-hmm.
And also polished. Sharpened for slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Polished to flash like lightning. Or shall we rejoice? Despise the rod, my son. With every wood.
Okay, let's stop there. When they saying a sword, it's possibly a song that's accompanied. It's a song of battle cry, mm-hmm. and accompanied by dancing. Okay? And then when you get to verse 10, it says, sharpened for slaughter and polished to flash like lightning, or shall we rejoice? You have despised the rod, my son, with everything of wood. Right? And so what's going to happen is, verse 10 is talking about Judah's scepter. Scepter is now going to be a stick instead of something powerful. Okay? Let's continue to read to, let's go to 2 Samuel 7 and 14. And we'll come back at 11. 2 Samuel 7 and 14. Steve, can you get that for me? Frida, can you get Psalms 2, 7 through 9? And Stacy, can you get Revelations 2 and 27?
What was that, Samuel 1?
2 Samuel 7 and 14.
Father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men.
Okay, my verse says, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men and the stripes of sons of men. You know they say, spare the rod, spoil the child. So therefore, if God is our father and we are his children, we getting a whooping. And he's not going to spare that rod. And there's nothing we can do to defend ourselves. And that's the reference in Ezekiel when he's talking about the rod in chapter 10. Not only is the scepter the stick, but you're still going to get a whooping. And anybody who's gotten a whooping understands that you can't run from this whooping. If your mama say, I'm getting you, you get it. She ain't going to forget. You might not get it that moment, but you get it when you least expect it. But she warned you that you was going to get it. You thought you was going to get away with something, and she still got you. Now, if you ain't got no whooping, I don't know what to tell you. But I got a couple. All right, okay, let's go to Psalms 2, 7 through 9. And a good father disciplines their children. I ain't getting no amen, but that's okay.
That's what the Bible says.
Yes, I am. I'm in who I am, but I do believe in discipline. Go ahead. Free.
The kings of the earth set themselves.
Is that two?
Yes.
Chapter two, verses 7 through 9.
Verse 7, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with the rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
So right there, he said, then I got you. And so right there, he said, you shall break them with a rod of iron. So now Judah's rod of iron is thick. I gave you my inheritance and what you do with it. Not only I got to take away from you, but I got to whoop you.
But isn't the rod of iron considered to be, what, Babylon?
Yeah. Okay.
So he's going to beat them with Babylon.
Uh-huh. Okay. But he still, but see, before, when they was in good graces, they wouldn't even need the iron. Because they was more powerful than any other nation. But you get in trouble. Now you're getting a whooping in front of the whole neighborhood. That's exactly what's happening. I mean, I hate to put it in latest times, but that's exactly what he's doing. He's disciplining them right in front of the whole neighborhood. People remember we talked about before how people came to Solomon for good counsel, and they was like, ooh, they got a lot of stuff, and they rich and they blessed. Now you're getting a whooping in front of people who you talked about, who you scorned. And they don't feel too good when you get a whooping in front of the classroom.
And you become a byline.
So now everybody's making fun of you. Your mom came up here and gave you a whoop. Rest up. And we talked about that before. It became a byline, which is also called a what? A proverb. Mm-hmm. Remember we talked about that. Okay, let's go to Revelation 2:27.
Revelation 2:27. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father.
Who is he talking about? Let's see if we can. Hey,
hi, Nancy.
Let's go to 25. Only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my words until the end. So he's talking about Jesus, right? So Jesus will rule them with a rod of iron, as when in earthen pots are broken in pieces. And we talked about the parallelism of Ezekiel and Revelations.
Right.
So he's saying the same, Ezekiel said the same thing that John is saying in Revelations, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's go back to Ezekiel, verse 8 and 11. I'm sorry. Chapter 21, verse 11.
Hey, before you go on, I want you to clarify this. If he's saying the same thing he said in John, but he's saying it for a different reason.
Yeah.
The people that's going to be broken in Revelation are those who died and did not believe.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Verse 11. So the sword, how many times is that now?
Six.
Is given to be polished, that it may be grasped in the hand. It is sharpened and polished to be given into the hand of the slayer. The slayer is now Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon, right?
Right.
Cry out and wail, son of man, for it is against my people. It is against all the princes of Israel. Now, when you say princes of Israel, it's really the kings of Israel, but Ezekiel and God have demoted them. Remember, we talked about that in chapter 20. They got demoted.
Right.
They are delivered over to the sword with my people. It says, strike therefore upon your thigh, for it will not be testing what it could do if you despise the rod, declares the Lord God. So he got to injure himself, because this is not going to be a testing. This is going to hurt, right? And as for you, son of man, prophesy. Clap your hands and let the sword come down twice. Yes, three times. The sword for those to be slain. If it is the sword for the great slaughter which surrounds them. So clapping their hands three times represents one swordsman will do the work of three.
Mm.
So you ain't going to be able to defend yourself. He can kill, you know how you saw in movies, they killing people at one time. It's going to be, he can kill three people with one swipe.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And that their hearts may melt and many stumble. At all the gates I've given the glittering sword. Ah, it is made like lightning. It's taken up for slaughter. Cut sharply to the right. Set yourself to the left, wherever your face is directed. So he's saying nobody's going to get away. So if Ezekiel looks this way, take the sword this way, right? Everybody gets slaughtered.
Right.
People behave. He turned his head. Everybody getting slaughtered. Nobody is going to get away. There is no escape. There's no escape. And I will clap my hands and I will satisfy my fury. I, the Lord, have spoken. So God is now, he said, I'm going to satisfy my anger. I'm going to rejoice because I ordained it. So when Babylon comes, Nebuchadnezzar comes, it's because I ordained it. You can't blame it on the devil. You blaming who? What was the quiz saying? Who can you blame? Yourself. We blaming the princes. We blaming the priests. We blaming the landowners. We blaming ourselves because we knew better. Moses put the law down and we violated all of it. And every time he tried to warn us and say, you know, help us, and we didn't listen, right? Ezekiel 18 through 27. The word of the Lord came to me again, which means he's finna say something else. As for you, son of man, mark two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to come. So now he's finna make a sign. There's gonna be two ways for them, not only one, but two ways for them to get to them. And as for you, son of man, right? mark two ways for the sword of the king of Babylon to come. Both of them shall come from the same land and make a signpost, make it at the head of the way to the city, and mark a way for the sword to come to Rabbah of the Ammonites and to Drulah into Jerusalem, the fortified. So we're going to go and we're going to talk about this Rabbah and Ammonites because it's important. So there's two ways for the invasion, both from the same land. Okay, and we're going to mark a point to the sword to come to Rabbah of the Ammonites to Judah. But we need to talk about this, okay, because the Ammonites are important. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, 1 through 3. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken to exiles from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was King Jeconiah, the queen mother, the eunuchs, and the officials of Judah and Jerusalem, and the craftsmen and the metalworkers had departed for Jerusalem. The letter was sent by hand of Eshlai, the son of Shaphar, Gemarshmah, the son of Hikkai, whom King Zedekiah of Judah sent to Babylon, and to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And it says, I'm going to keep reading, thus said the Lord the host, that the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I've sent into exile from Jerusalem, build your houses and live them, and plant and eat and produce. And when you keep going back down, it's going to get talking about the Ammonites. Now, I want to explain something about the Ammonites. You can read it, the rest of that for your leisure. Let's go to Genesis 19. It's important that we understand who these people are.
I know.
Genesis 19, verses 36 through 38. Now, the significance of this is if you look at the title, it talks about, of chapter 19, God rescued Lot. Well, where did he rescue Lot from? We talked about in previous chapters that the Jews were worse than who? And Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we got to understand that he saved Lot. Now, what happened to Lot's wife? Because she wanted to look back, right? Because they were full of abominations and all kind of stuff. Even the angels engaged in some stuff, right? They tried to engage the angels in doing stuff, right? Okay. So 19:36 through, I'm glad people know your Bible history, that's good. Thus, both the daughters of Lot became pregnant by their father. The firstborn bore a son, and we call his name Moab. And his father, he's the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger also bore a son and called his name Benjamite. He is the father of the Ammonites to this day. Now, we do understand that Lot is related to who?
Abraham.
Okay, so if Lot is related to Abraham, that means the Moabites and the Ammonites are who related to who?
Abraham.
And he is the father of who?
The Jews.
So they're all
related. And the Arabs.
Correct. So they're all related, right?
Yeah.
So the Ammonites are cousins, right?
Right.
To the Jews. Okay?
Right.
So let's go to Deuteronomy. And Nancy, read Deuteronomy 2:19 for me. I got excited because I didn't know this. So, you know, when I did research, I'm excited about this because I didn't know who they were. Go ahead.
2:19, Deuteronomy. And when you approach the territory of the people of Ammon, do not harass them or contend with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot for a possession.
Okay, so gave it to the Lot for possession, right? So let's go to Deuteronomy 23:3. Read that for me.
No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever.
Okay, so the Moabites and the Ammonites can't come in, right? Because they're Gentiles right now, right? They can't go into the temple. Stick that in your head. Let's put a pin in it, because we'll go back to Ezekiel. You can see, you're going to see something, and it's going to blow your mind. It blew minds. Okay? Stick it until we get to verse 28. Okay? But I wanted to explain to you who they were. All right. I got too excited.
I already know where you're going.
I got too excited.
What you
get there? Okay. Got excited. Let me calm down, because it's exciting. And y'all don't see it yet, but y'all will. Okay. So, for the king, verse 21 in Ezekiel 21:21. For the king of Babylon stands at the parting of the ways, at the head of the two ways, to give you divination. He shakes the arrows and consults the turtle, and he looks at the liver. Now, let me explain something to you. Turtle, let's go to Genesis 31:19. Sorry to people who are new. We go back and forth because the word is fluid. It's not, you know, you gotta go back to get to where you are. Okay. So 19, Lebanon had gone to smear his sheep, and Rachel stole. Is that right? Did I read the right one? I said 31:19.
Yeah.
Okay. And smear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods, and Jacob tricked Lebanon and Ammon by telling him that he was intended to flee. This version took away the terminology, but that's where they got it from, okay? I want y'all to understand something, too. Let's go to 31:30 instead. Okay, here we go. And now you have gone away because you longed greatly for your father's house, but why do you steal my gods? And Jacob answered and says, because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. Anyone whom you find your God shall not live, in the presence of the king shall point out what I have and take it. Okay. So we're talking about little gods. He's not talking about big gods. Terrapin is images devoted to superstitious or idolatrous purposes. And they're also termed gods by Lebanon. That's why they had to go back in there and read about Lebanon. Okay. It's figures, it's idols. And what Nebuchadnezzar did, he shook the arrows like dice. So you know how people play crafts? So he decided which way he was going to go first. Shook the arrows and said, oh, lucky seven, he's going to go this way first, and he's going to come that way. It blew my mind, because I'm like, they've been playing dice since back in the day. We've got I'm not being facetious and funny, y'all, but sometimes I find when we do stuff like this, so he looks at it and say, which way we gonna go? And I think it's kind of quirky and funny, because we think we made up something, we ain't made up nothing.
Well, it's just like the boom tossing chicken bone.
Yeah, it's tossing chicken bone, so he decided which way he gonna go. Into his right, verse 22 in Ezekiel 21:22, into his right hand comes the deviation for Jerusalem. So he's going to decide what he's going to do first. To set battering rams, to open up the mouth with murder, to lift up the voice with shouting, to set battering rams against the gates, to cast up the mounts, to build the siege towers. But to them it will seem like a false deviation, that they have sworn solemn oaths, but he brings the guilt to remembrance, that they may be taken. Now, remember Zechariah, was it not Zechariah? What's his name?
Zedekiah.
This is who we talking about. Now, he telling Ezekiel thumbing his nose at Zedekiah because he telling him, this is what you thought you made a deal. Now, this is how we going to get through. He going to ram through. And you remember you made a promise to this man? He ain't forget. You thought you was getting away with something, but he did not forget. Remember that?
Right.
So in verse 24, therefore, thus said the Lord God, because you have made your guilt to be remembered, is in that your transgressions uncovered, so that in all your deeds your sins appear, because you have to come remembrance, you shall be taken in hand. So he telling Zedekiah, you thought you did something in dark. You made a promise to Nebuchadnezzar under an oath under my name. So you thought you got away with it. I'm coming after you. And Ezekiel basically saying he ain't crying this no more. Remember before he was just prophesying and we was hearing what we was looking at the background. He's saying it out loud. He God coming for you. Nebuchadnezzar gonna come and get you because you promised that you would remember he was a figurehead, that you would honor me, Nebuchadnezzar. Mm-hmm. And he did. He did a deal with who?
Egypt.
Why he did a deal with Egypt? I don't know. Because Egypt is like, you know, every man for himself. They didn't even help him. Mm-hmm. Right? What happened to Zedekiah? He tried to run and what happened? Yeah, but they did for
plucked
what they
out his eyes.
They poked out his eyes and got him. Remember what did Ezekiel do? He was unpacking in the middle of the night. Remember?
Yeah.
That's what Zedekiah. Remember Zedekiah did that, thought he was going to get away with something.
Yeah. Right? Poked his eyes out.
Because you can't. What did we just learn? The righteous and the wicked. Nobody getting away with nothing. God is tired. And Ezekiel got to tell them all this. This ain't happened yet. Okay? All right. Let's go to verse 25. And you, O profane wicked one, prince of Israel, whose day has come, the time of your final punishment. Ezekiel, like, you're a prince, even though you're supposed to be a king, but remember, you're just a figurehead, and I'm demoting you, and I'm telling you, God coming to get you. Thus said the Lord God, remove that turban, take off that crown. So you finna get dethroned, right? Things shall not remain as they are. Exalt that which is low and bring low that which is exalted. Let's go to Luke 1 and 52. Does that sound familiar? Exalt which is low, right? Luke 1 and 52. And he brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of the humble estate. What does it say? The first shall what?
First shall be last.
And the last shall be
first.
Amen. Let's go back to 27 in Ezekiel. And ruin I will make it. This is also shall not be until he comes, the one to whom judgment belongs, and I will give it to him. Who is he in this sentence, y'all?
Jesus.
Very correct. Jesus. Jesus returns with hope. Let's go to John 1 through 49. Nancy, can you get that for me? Lisa, can you get Zechariah 6, 12 through 13? And Frida, can you get Revelation 17 and 14?
John chapter 1, verse 49. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel.
Keep on.
Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man.
Amen. Let's go to Zechariah 6.
Zechariah 6 chapter and the 12th verse.
12 through 13. Go ahead.
Okay. And say to him, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, the man whose name is the branch, for he shall branch out from this place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. It is he who shall build the temple of the Lord, and shall bear royal honor, and shall sit and rule on his throne. And there shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the pound shall be in the temple of the Lord as a rank, as a reminder of Helam, Tobaja, Judea, and Hen, the sons of Zephaniah. And those who are far off shall come and help to build the temple of the Lord, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.
Amen. Revelation 17 and 14.
They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called the chosen and faithful.
And also, let's go to Revelation 14 and 14.
14. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud like one like a son of man, with a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand.
So now you see in Ezekiel, the people of the real line have been dethroned. And God said in verse 27, the right king, the right my son, is going to be throned, meaning crowned, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. Awa means to overturn, to ruin. So some people's verse has that word awa in it. It means to be overturned and ruined. Okay? Do me a favor. And you know I'm going to mess your name. I can't remember your name. I know your face and I speak.
Sheree.
Thank you. That should be easy because I have a friend named Sheree, but I'm going to keep asking because I know faces and I don't know them.
Okay.
Can you read verses 28 through 32 for me?
From Revelation?
Ezekiel 21, 28 through 32. Okay.
And when...
28 through 32. Chapter 21, 28 through 32.
Okay, so chapter 21, verse 28
through 32.
And thou, son of man, prophesy and say, thus said the Lord of God concerning the Ammonites, and concerning their reproach, even say thou, the sword is drawn, for the slaughter it is furnished, to consume because of the glittering. Whilst they see vanity unto thee, whilst they divine a life alive unto thee, to bring thee upon the necks of them that are slain, of the wicked, whose days come when their iniquity shall have an end. Shall I cause it to return into his sheep? I will judge thee in the place where thou was created, in the land of thy nativity. Go to what verse again?
To 32.
32, okay. And I will pour out my indignation upon thee. I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of brutish men, and skillful to destroy. Thou shalt be for fuel to the fire. Thy blood shall be in the midst of the land. Thou shalt be no more remembered, for I, the Lord, have spoken it.
Now,
there's two more swords.
Yeah,
Yes,
19 swords in there. Okay, let me read you a note. Verse 21 and 21, the king stands to use divination. This means to seek an omen to gain guidance from superstitious devices. Three methods were available for Babylon leaders. He shook the arrows and let them fall. We talked about that. But in the note here in 20, it says, the imagery sees Babylon's army on the march coming crossroads. The sword is the king of Babylon who faced a decision. One sign points to Jerusalem and Judah, and the other to Rabbadon. Amon has conspired with Judah against the Babylon. Now, they reached their cousins, the Ammonites, and said, "Hey, they had an undercover treaty, okay?" So Nebuchadnezzar could have said, "Okay, who do I deal with first?" Right? He dealt with Judah first, but the Ammonites in verse 28, God says they will be dealt with too. So not only is Judah gonna die, their cousins gonna die. Because remember, their cousins ain't supposed to set foot in the temple. We already know that they was doing stuff abomination. So you know they're cousins because they had a treaty. Now you can come in. Okay?
Right.
Then on top of that, false prophets of hope. So the Ammonites, they probably say, ain't nothing going to happen to us. But they wasn't going to be spared either. Right?
Right.
Babylon will come under judgment as well. Ain't nobody. Nebuchadnezzar was in trouble too. Because what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He supposed to be believing in God, and he's shaking dice. Everybody was going to get it. Babylon was going to get it. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was used to do the sword, but then he said, I'm going to tell Nebuchadnezzar to put his sword up because now the Ammonites going to be fuel for my fire. Everybody died. Everybody that did something that they shouldn't have done is getting in trouble. Nebuchadnezzar suffered already. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he's still not a whole man of God. He's still using his tricks on his sleeve. Which way should I go first? He's not seeking God either. But God still used him to besiege Judah. Because they were doing, remember, they were having abominations not only inside the holy temple, right? They was outside, had idols outside the temple.
Burning children,
priests doing stuff, princes doing stuff, everybody doing stuff. And yes, ma'am.
That's a correlation of what's going on now. Specifically with ministering now, preaching a word of, you know, hope, and I mean, it's not so much hope, but it's, you know, prosperity is good, you know, just stay positive, don't worry, things, all that stuff, just, you know, shake it off, pray it off, and, you know, you're going to be forgiven and just keep moving on. You have grace and you have mercy. You know, but at some given time, there's accountability.
Right? Correct. Mm-hmm. And so that, okay, so what we have in this class is context. Scripture, we're doing context, and we're doing the interpretation, which means what it meant to these people. And what you're doing is application. Mm-hmm. And we're applying to what we can take from it. Mm-hmm. Because, just because we think, now, we thank God for grace, but just because we think that we got away with something, we don't get away with it, right? And it's not always going to be flowers and butterflies. We got to go through something.
Amen.
And also, think about the climate. The righteous and the wicked are going to have a problem.
Right.
I ain't going further than that, but you can understand that whatever was going to happen, we have to suffer along with it.
And we talked about that before, that even though Ezekiel is the prophet, he's going to suffer with the people.
Yes. He know. This is. Think about it. You got to act all this out. You can't talk unless they tell you to talk. You lay on your side, right?
Mm-hmm.
For how many days?
40
and 40. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then you got to dig a hole, mm-hmm. right?
Eat dumb.
Shave off your hair when you ain't supposed to shave. They weren't supposed to shave. Mm-hmm. Then you got to sit in front of everybody and act like you're starving, right? In addition to that, you got fake people coming to you, asking you, knowing for a fact that they ain't believing none of you saying. And in addition to that, you got to banish your sword, moan, all of this God is telling you. And you know you still got to go through.
Right.
Mind you, Ezekiel wasn't the only person saying this. Jeremiah was going through the same thing. Isaiah was going through the same thing.
Right.
Everybody remember Jeremiah and Ezekiel was doing this at the same time.
Two different locations.
Jeremiah was telling the princes, hey, dude, don't do this. They didn't listen. Ezekiel around the he's a priest, right?
Mm-hmm.
They not listening.
He's around common folks.
Common folks and the priests, and they come in here, they talking about, then they ain't even think about it. You got people thinking you crazy. You got to. He wasn't supposed to shave his head. Remember we talked about that.
Right.
He laying on his side with an iron in front of him. He doing all this stuff and they don't understand. Now he making signposts. I'm telling y'all this. They coming at us. We came from one. Remember, one swipe of the sword take out three people.
Wow.
We got famine, right?
Right.
The sword,
pestilence,
and what else?
Fire.
All of this is coming up.
So what Sharice was talking about in today's time, I think that, you know, that true gospel without a chaser
is not received with.
Yeah.
I mean, because people spend big, just on subject also, if anybody just keep in touch with what Leandra said a week, 2 days ago.
Yeah, she said
about
Christian,
the church.
Christian
and she was telling
rap.
The truth.
Mm-hmm.
But then, because, and see, I listened to her, but that was just a marketing tool for her too. Because
yeah.
she said, I'm going to do an event right behind it. Y'all need to pay, save y'all money and come. See, our problem is we want a gospel that's going to tell us that we're going to enjoy the things on this side of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the true gospel. The gospel says this is not our home. It says, don't love the things in the world. Don't love the things in this world. Because we're not of this world. You know, don't love the things in this world, neither of the things in this world. But we do. And that's the gospel we want to hear, the gospel of the world. You know, buy me, give me, make me great. But the problem is, we're making people great, making America great again, but they're going to hell.
Amen.
And nobody says that no more.
Nope.
There is a hell to occupy. And that easy believism and all that stuff, like you said, no accountability, you're preaching them right under the hell and you're going to be held accountable.
And Ezekiel's saying you're going to be accountable for your actions.
Yeah.
You're going to be accountable. Ezekiel's saying you're going to be accountable and you ain't going to like how you're being accountable.
We call it what we call it, the sugar gospel.
Uh-huh.
No salt. Just sugar. Sweet. Diabetic Christians.
We going in a coma. Let's go to chapter 22.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the Lord, word of the Lord came to me saying, that means he finna say something else, right?
Yeah.
And you, son of man, will you judge? Will you judge the bloody city? He's gonna say bloody seven times. Blood of blood seven times. Okay, here we go. You shall say, thus says the Lord God, a city that sheds blood in her midst, so that her time may come, that makes idols to defile herself. So this is, what type of sin is this? You're going to have two types of sins, idol worship and social injustice. What type of sin is this?
Idolatry.
Thank you. You have become guilty by the blood that you have shed and defiled by the idols that you have made, and you have brought your days near the appointed time for your years have to come. Therefore, I make you a reproach to the nations and mockery to all countries. So, of course, he's talking about what type of sin again?
Idolatry.
Verse 5, those who are near and those who are far from you will mock you if your name is defiled. You are full of turmoil. Remember I just said, so now you're going to get a whooping, you're going to die all in front of everybody. And everybody going to talk about you. You're going to become what? A proverb. Remember we talked about that. Okay? I just got excited and just lost. Okay, here. Behold, the princes of Israel in you, every one according to his power, have been bent on shedding blood. Princes of Israel, he's talking about those kings of Israel, and you, everyone, according to his power, have been bent on shedding blood, which means that you caused this because you could have prevented this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Father and mother are treated with contempt in you. The sojourner suffers exhortation in your midst, and the fatherless and the widows are wronged in you. Now, father and mother are treated with contempt. What type of sin is this? Is it idol worship or social injustice?
Social injustice.
Let's go to Exodus 21 through 27. Exodus 22, 21 through 27. You shall not wrong a sojourner or an oppressor, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. You shall not mistreat your widow or the fatherless child. If you do mistreat them, then and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall become widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a money lender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. If you ever you take your neighbor's cloak and pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down. For this is his own only covering, and this is his cloak for his body. Is what else shall he sleep? And if he cries to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate. Okay? Also, let's go up to 16. 22:16. If a man seduces a virgin who is not betrothed and lies to her, he shall give the price of bride for her and make her his wife. If he, her father utterly refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the bride's price of virgins. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. Whoever lives with an animal shall be put to death. Whoever sacrifices any god other than the Lord alone shall be devoted to destruction. And one of the commandments says what? Honor their what?
Honor your mother and father.
Right, for your days will be what? Okay. So, under 7, going back to Ezekiel, the social injustice is that you're supposed to honor your mom, your mother, and your father, right? But what they're doing is, according to Ezekiel, they have treated their father and mother with contempt. So they're violating what? Another law, commandment, right? Sojourners, remember we just read, suffer exhortation. So they're treating them like slaves. So now that's a social injustice, and they're violating another law. Fatherless and widowless. He said, if you do all these things, I'm going to make you fatherless and widows. And they didn't take care of their fathers and widows. So there's another social injustice.
Right.
So let's go to verse 11. I read verse 11. They were violating women. They were committing abominations to women, right? That's another social injustice. Let's go to Leviticus 18:15. So does it sound like they was doing anything right? They sleeping with... I'm surprised we ain't got to the animal part yet, because they doing everything. 18:15, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. You shall not uncover her nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife. It is your brother's nakedness. You shall not uncover the nakedness of a woman of her daughter. You shall not take her son's daughter or the daughter's to uncover. All this is the problem. You go to Amos 2:7, and it'll talk about violating women as well. Then we talked about in verse 12, usury and excessive injury. So I'm sorry, Stacy and Lisa, your bank call is they what you call loan sharks were against the commandment. You're not supposed to take interest and do usury and excessive fees. That's also a social injustice. And they can be found in Leviticus 25:36. Okay, so they doing everything that God said not to do. Do me a favor, Nancy. Read 13-22 for me of Ezekiel 22.
Ezekiel 22, 13-22. Behold, I strike my hand at the dishonest gain that you have made and at the blood that has been in your midst. Can your courage endure, or can your hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. I will scatter you among the nations and disperse you through the countries, and I will consume your uncleanness out of you, and you shall be profaned by your own doing in the sight of the nations, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, the house of Israel has become dross to me.
Stop. Dross is recruitment of metals. It's scum. It's been thrown in the process of melting. It's rust. It's crust of metals. It's worthless.
So anything that makes the metal impure.
Yes. The word is dross is unclean. Dross is unclean. Psalms 12:6, I'll go there real quick and read that. But if he calls you dross, you dirt, you just unclean. There's nothing clean about you, okay? Is you worthless? You're not a priceless metal anymore. You're worthless. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in the furnace of the ground and purified 7 times. Dross is not purified. Go ahead.
All of them are bronze and tin and iron and lead in the furnace. They are dross of silver.
They didn't say gold. They dross. That means that they ain't worth anything. They ain't even silver. Go ahead.
Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have all become dross, therefore, behold, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. as one gathers silver and bronze and iron and lead and tin into a furnace to blow the fire on it in order to melt it, so I will gather you in my anger and in my wrath, and I will put you in and melt you. I will gather you and blow on you with the fire of my wrath, and you shall be melted in the midst of it. Verse 22, as silver is melted in a furnace, so you shall be melted in the midst of it, and you shall know that I am the Lord. I have poured out my wrath upon you.
So now we see fire, right?
Slight correction, it's dross, not dross.
Oh, sorry, dross. Okay. Yeah. But it, now you see that the fire's coming, right? Mm-hmm. And they ain't even worth protecting. They ain't even precious metals anymore.
Wow.
Go ahead and go through 23 to 29.
And the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained upon in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in the midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured human lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Neither have they taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have disregarded my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have smeared whitewash for them, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land have practiced extortion and committed robbery. They have oppressed the poor and needy and have extorted from the sojourner without justice.
Okay, so here's Teresa's whitewash. The false prophets tried to whitewash. That's that fake news that we got, right? And Jeremiah talks about that in 6 and 14. Let's go there. That said whitewash. You take, remember giving all that, what's that prophecy that, financial prophecy, you got a blessing with your name on it, and mm-hmm. you pay this, that money, that's whitewashing, right? Mm-hmm. So then he promised you that you're going to get all that now, did he? The 6 and 14 says, they have healed the wound of my people like insane.
Did I read the right word? It said Jeremiah
6 and 14. They healed the wound of my people like insane, peace and peace where there is no peace. So the false prophets are telling him there's going to be peace and there's not going to be any peace, right? Mm-hmm. The princes are described in these verses as animals, right? Because they are devouring people. The priests are violators instead of keepers of the law, right? We don't even know what's clean and what's not unclean. They didn't separate because but that's their job. To say what's clean and unclean. So now I got a sin, and I'm asking you as my priest to go in there and cleanse it. And my sins ain't cleansed no more because you defied. So who gonna save me? That was the whole purpose of who?
Jesus.
Because the priests are defied. The priests are defiled in the time of Ezekiel, and they defiled in the time of Jesus.
And remember, Jesus even told them that told the Pharisees that you do the same thing they do.
Correct. And if and let's take it another step further. Not all priests, but the priests are defiled when? Now.
Preachers, yeah.
Preachers are defiled now because they're not telling you the truth. It's okay to be this way. It's okay to be the. It's okay if you sleep with a dog. It's okay if you sleep with. It's okay because Jesus loves you and He's going to forgive you. But they forget the scripture says you can do all of this in my name. And He say He ain't gonna know you. That goes the same with fornicators. Ain't nobody different. He says, you can do all of this and you continue to do what I told you not to do. I'm going to act like I don't know you. Matter of fact, I don't know you.
Right.
So it's the same thing in Ezekiel time, the same thing in Jesus time, it's the same thing as now. And we don't get away with murder. You can't have your cake and eat it too. That's why repentance is free. But you got to repent. You got to turn away. Right? Sorry, I didn't mean to preach.
Don't preach up.
The people of the land. The people of the land is not talking about the poor. These are the landowners who oppress the poor. They are like people who own land. People who own land had authority. They had stature. So people listened to them, right? They were doing people wrong, right? They were extorting and robbing the poor, says in verse 29. And when a sojourner came, they got no justice. They were, what would they call, sharecroppers and got no share?
No.
Think about it. Let's go to verse 30 to 31. Finish it off for me.
30 and 31. And I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. I have returned their way upon their heads, declares the Lord God.
So God says that I tried to find somebody without a spot or wrinkle. I couldn't find nobody. Let's go to Jeremiah 5, 1 through 6 real quick. He says, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem and look and take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man, one that does justice and seek the truth, that I might pardon her. Though they say that the Lord lives, yet swear falsely. O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth? You have struck them down, but they feel no anguish. You have consumed them, but they refuse to take correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. Pastor, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, you do what you want to do with that. Anyway, they have made their faces harder than a rock, and they have refused to repent. That correction thing just hit me. I'm going to read that again. You have struck them down, but they felt no anguish. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. Then I say they're only the poor. They have no sense, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the justice of their God. I will go to great and will speak to them, for they know that the way of the Lord, the justice of their God. But they all alike have broken the yokes, and they have burst the bonds.
Mm.
And therefore a lion from the forest shall strike them down, and a wolf from the desert shall devastate them. A leopard is watching their cities. Everyone who goes out of them shall be torn to pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their apostates are great. Mm. Jeremiah couldn't find nobody. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's see if Isaiah can find anybody.
That's the same thing that Abraham made to God with Lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Still can't find. But see, he found Lot. But Jeremiah couldn't find nobody. Because they are so abominable right now. They worse than Samaria and Sodom. How you worse than Sodom and Samaria? Let's go. I'm sorry. I got excited. Isaiah 51 and 18. There is none to guide her among the sons she has bore. There is none to take her by her hand among all the sons she has brought up. These two things have happened to you. Who will console you? Devastation, destruction, famine, and sword will comfort you. Who will comfort you? Remember, he's saying the same thing Ezekiel's saying. Remember, devastation, destruction, famine. What we just got to read in verse in chapter 21, sword. He's saying the same thing. Who will comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of every street like an antelope in the nest. Here's some more animals, right? They are full of wrath, the Lord. They rebuke of your God. Therefore, hear this, you who are afflicted, who are drunk, but not with wine. Thus said the Lord your God, who pleased the call of his people. Behold, I've taken your hand, the cup of staggering, the bowl of wrath, and you shall drink no more. And I will put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, bow down, that we may pass over, and you make your back like the ground and like the street for them to pass over. Mm. Awake. Awake. And I'm not going to keep on reading. I'm telling y'all, if y'all keep on reading, as Isaiah, because this can go all the way to 59 and 16. But listen to you. Listen. Isaiah tried to find somebody and couldn't find anybody either. Because we looked at all of, let's think about who we just talked about, the list of bad actors. Everybody of authority is doing bad.
Yes.
The princes could have stopped it, but they acting like savages and animals, right? Mm-hmm. The priests, the keeper, the Levites, supposed to keep the law and tell them. And what happened when David did something wrong? Who came to him? The priest said, "You wrong, right?" Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody tell nobody nothing. Everybody doing the same thing. They in the holy temple doing worshiping sun gods and having women in the temple. Now, you understand what I'm saying? So the prince is doing what they want to do. They not listening. The priest doing what they want to do, acting as, you know, pious, acting like they doing what they supposed to do, but they just as dirty as the commoner, right?
Nobody tells the truth.
False prophets saying what Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah saying is wrong. Oh, everything's going to be happy. Everything's going to be great, right? And then here come the landowners, people of authority. You couldn't find nobody. The poor can't save themselves.
Right. Hey, Vic, this is kind of interesting because this is a hard pill to swallow, but today's time, you want your pastor and your preachers to spend more time trying to figure out how to give it to you than to just give it to you.
Right.
If you give it to me too hard, I'm going to get a what? Offended. If I say the words wrong to you in your mind, I'm telling you the truth, but you're going to get what?
Offended.
And when you get offended, you can't hear me.
No.
And when you get offended, you get deceived.
And we just going to be, so now we become what Ezekiel talks about, stiff neck and hard head. And in Ezekiel's time, nobody listening. Nobody.
Thank you for tuning in. This is Pastor Teacher Dr. James Sutton of Walking Truth Christian Fellowship Church. You can contact me at WITMIN@yahoo.com or Walking Truth Christian Fellowship Church Facebook. My phone number is 314-629-0024. You can send your tax-deductible gift to Walk in Truth, 7852 Milan Avenue, MILAN, St. Louis, Missouri, 63130. Thank you for tuning in and have a blessed day.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.